Love is the all-important question of today. Everybody is searching for love in different places, but some actually have given up on love altogether. They have questioned whether love is something that is real or just biological, emotional. In this study of 2018-19, the Graduate Christian Union has been focusing on agape love as an answer to many human problems, both existential and philosophical, etc. So I'm just going to read a section on the question of whether love still is worthy of our investment. We're sort of going up against nihilism, not letting nihilism have the final say or the final word, but we're actually saying that love is worth having another look at. It's easy to be conflicted or confused under the influence of competing ideologies and an outlook of skepticism. Perhaps at this juncture we have to ask ourselves some tough questions. Which questions will best guide our lives? Which questions will give us most traction? Which questions deserve our undivided attention, our full personal engagement? Many would say that the choice of the right questions is even more important than the right answers. It is questions about our identity, our sense of self, our calling in life that probe the deep waters, as we find in thoughtful writer Parker Palmer in his book, A Hidden Wholeness. Do we have a thoughtful, critical, realistic view of the world, or are we living in a fantasy of someone else's invention? In the light of these questions, it seems inconceivable to give up on the possibility of genuine love. Without hesitation, our proposal in this second chapter of our conversation is that we need to invest in love, in mentoring, and significant relationships with those who can feed our vision and understand our central passion. Love costs us through self-sacrifice, but it also empowers us in amazing ways. It has a way of recalibrating the chaos and alienation in our lives, providing a foundation for healing. Love is a powerful force that can grapple with tragedy. Psychiatrist Scott Peck's definition of love is a commitment to the spiritual growth of another person. That's attractive. It enhances our emotional intelligence, creates connective power in our empathy, and as we encourage and empower others. The cynic gives up far too much when giving up on love. We sometimes find ourselves in a crisis because we have failed to learn the nuances of how to receive and extend love to others. We may not have the courage to express appropriate vulnerability, or we may be hiding behind a wall of shame, as Brené Brown talks about. Dr. Brown notes that shame is positively correlated with addiction, depression, aggression, violence, eating disorders, and suicide. Love, trust-building, accountability, relationships offer transformative hope and deep personal challenge towards maturity. The Happiness Research Project at University of British Columbia Okanagan campus, run by Dr. Mark Holder, shows that contributing to the well-being of others is a well-documented, robust source of meaning. Top Austrian happiness research specialist Stefan Klein reveals good news. We can impact our own joy in life. We even reinforce brain patterns that look forward to good things. We can also leave a significant imprint on other people through our investment in love, investment in them. A good example of love's healing power would be in the Big Brother and Big Sister mentoring programs for disadvantaged children. Love helps us to integrate our personality, while cynicism serves up psychic entropy, spiritual disintegration. Love sets a person free, while cynicism boxes a person in by fear, anger, resentment, guilt, and despair, building high, impenetrable walls in self-defense. Love, when fully grasped, is the highest possible human goal, the ultimate ethical jewel, a veritable super virtue. As a very sound, long-range investment, it is a huge step above tolerance or difference, tolerance of difference or bland acceptance of another person. We'll wager on weighty love over cheap despair any day of the week. Many young couples have publicly declared their love through placing a lock on the Pont des Arts bridge in Paris. The phenomenon is symbolic of our endemic human longing for love to be real. We put our money on reconciliation and forgiveness as a vital life force, a trajectory of healing and hope. Cynicism is a stewardship problem. It is a waste of time, talent, and money, leading to a shattered life riddled with multiple missed opportunities for growth and leadership and many broken relationships. Love is strong relational economics. As Charles Taylor has noted, some Enlightenment moderns, like Voltaire, have held the cosmic trial. They have sentenced the divine and declared the death of God, banishing religion from Western civilization. One take on us is that we late moderns are the courageous generation trying to live without God, to live after God. Many have taken this stance in the 20th and now the 21st century. But is it actually possible, asks David Bentley Hart, to dismiss the very ground of one's being, one's reason, one's consciousness, one's identity, the very ground of beauty and goodness itself? Contemporary philosopher Thomas Nagel declares that many atheists, including Nagel himself, still fear that God might exist. They are haunted by some kind of cosmic authority problem. Of course, many others wish they could believe in God, but cannot seem to do so, such as Albert Camus. If God is dead, love seems also reducible to a human self-interest contract at best, as long as our love will last, we might say in our vows at a wedding. At its worst, it becomes merely a biological brute instinct of species survival. Or is it just mutual manipulation for personal pleasure or economic gain, using others to get what you want and what you want, where you want to go? No wonder so many marriages fail in the first 10 years if this is the hidden premise, the backstory to our vows. The fingers crossed behind our back. Who can stand to be used in such an I-it relationship? This is a crass formula heading us into dark, downward spiral of narcissism. Biblical agape love is not utilitarian, but remains stubbornly grounded in God. It is countercultural. God is love, says the Apostle John. Whoever lives in love lives in God, and God in her. Love is more profound than an experiment in relationships. One of C.S. Lewis's key mentors, George MacDonald, has an insightful comment about the very ground of created life. This quote represents a distinctive life posture, a profound wager on transcendent goodness, a view that we find in Psalm 107. I quote from George MacDonald. The God himself whom we love could not be righteous were he not something deeper and better still than we generally mean by that word. But alas, how little can language say without seeming to say something wrong? In one word, God is love. Love is the deepest depth, the essence of his nature, at the root of all his being. It is not merely that he could not be God if he had made no creatures to whom to be God, but love is the heart and hand of his creation. It is his right to create and his power to create as well. The love that foresees creation is itself power to create. End quote. Could love actually be more fundamental to our existence than we think? That's the wager in this discussion. A provocative question worth exploring. The divine music has not stopped playing in a secular culture. We're not trapped within our imminent frame by illogical or logical necessity. We need not close the gates of our imagination to transcendence. Charles Taylor notes that atheism is only one take on the world, not the final, inescapable position for an intelligent person. We need not buy into the closed world system spin on things. The deep theism of Christianity reveals a God who is familiar with human suffering, a being who has a stake in our well-being, a God who has identified with the human community in the incarnation. This is a God who has gone to the gallows, a God who promises to be there with us in our time of disappointment and broken dreams. It speaks of a God who has experienced our suffering and rejection, our humiliating bullying. Eugene Peterson builds our point. Quote, God is love. Love is the core of God's being. Man and woman, made in the image of God, are also at the core, love. This is who we are created to be, persons who love, persons who receive love. Whenever we love, we are most ourselves, living at our best, mature. End quote. It takes a caring God who will enter our despair and slowly draw out the poison, pull out us out of the pit. Famous German sociologist Jürgen Habermas became disillusioned with secularism several years ago, realizing that good reason actually requires the inspiration of religion in order to flourish. Otherwise, reason and language become thin, dry, and stifling. Political theorist William Connolly at Johns Hopkins University, in his book, Why I'm Not a Secularist, notes that spirituality speaks to the fecundity of existence, connecting us to the world and to the polis. It prevents our lives from descending into chaos, fear, and disengagement. The claim that we find ourselves making within our modern nihilistic age is that life integrated around God is a powerful antidote to cynicism. Again, psychiatrist Scott Peck constantly tries to help his clients to take God and themselves more seriously, to lean into reality on the road to stable mental and emotional health. He encourages people to stop the game of lies that they often tell themselves, paving the road out of addiction and self-destruction. One might also listen to psychiatrist Kurt Thompson in his book Anatomy of the Soul for surprising insights on the connection between neuroscience and a transformative relationship with God. He sees the spiritual quest as a means to integrate the self, to move us from anxious insecurity to security and hope. We quote him here. The importance of spiritual development is now acknowledged by many researchers and respected clinicians as one of the most important lenses through which we should view our lives. End quote. What if God's fundamental orientation towards his creation was one of deep compassion and affection and intense interest in our well-being, as it is depicted so powerfully in Psalm 139? Dr. Thompson agrees. The great myth of modernity as it applies to neuroscience is that we can pull ourselves up by our own bootstraps. We can attain ultimate mindful peacefulness and, by extension, cultural utopia without an ultimate other to save us from ourselves. The ongoing terrorism, global warming, mounting third world debt, along with our own proclivity for insatiable consumption, should quickly awaken us from this daydream, says Thompson. Because isolation and loneliness are increasingly significant element of our virtual society, it's important to remember that faith involves a deep personal relationship with a very personal God, a triune God of communion, communion of three persons. Internationally respected author and speaker and former Oxford geographer James Houston argues that God is the ultimate source of our very personhood. He reminds us that life is fundamentally relational and that the personal dimension of life is a key, more vital than science, economics, or technology. This is the way of contemplation, as pointed out by political scientist Professor Ron Dart at University of the Fraser Valley. Houston founded Regent College in Vancouver, Canada in 1970 in order to complement the best academic study at the University of British Columbia and beyond, and develop a theology of the whole person. One of the things we need to recover in our technological age is the art of conversation, as Sherry Turkle writes in Reclaiming Conversation, The Power of Talk in a Digital Age. It is only a personal, loving God who can be asked for an answer to tragedy, evil, and suffering, says Philip Yancey, or who has enough depth and history with the human narrative to feel the deepest questions of calling, meaning, and purpose. In an impersonal world, we desperately need the knowledge that a personal God has our back. A cold universe of mere matter, power, and forces of physics cannot respond to our heart cries or answer our tough questions. The crisis of late modern world is due in large part to a theological amnesia, a fragmented or forgotten memory of God. God did not die on the day we stopped believing in a personal deity. It might be repressed in some circles, but genuine love did not die with the arrival of nihilism in Europe or America. Love is a river that runs too deep through our history and is too endemic to deep our deepest longings. In fact, a personal relationship with God has helped millions to realize for the first time that they are lovable. It continues to help people confront the tortured reality of inner demons in support groups like Alcoholics Anonymous, where there are friends to hear their pain and support them in their struggle. It has helped people to cope with challenging reality of an imperfect and often unjust world. Jean Vanier, who received the 2015 Templeton Prize for his L'Arche work among mentally disabled adults, is an icon of the investment in love and its power to heal and transform even the most broken. His work is an inspiration to us all. Perhaps we'll leave it there for now and pick this up later.